Let's begin this morning. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 141. Psalm 141, I want to read two verses. Psalm 141, beginning with verse 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Our Father, we do pray that as we come to your word, that you would bless it, and that it would be, Lord, that which would be profitable. We do pray, Lord, that you would sanctify us. We know that understanding only comes by your grace. So we call upon you in this hour. May it be one, Lord, that will make an impression upon our own hearts as we look at your word, how precious this word is. We do pray for your mercy, for your grace, as we study together in your name. Amen. We want to consider these words of David, these words that regard the tongue, regard our speech. And David asks the Lord, a petition he brings, and he does so in the context of very fervent prayer. In verse 1, he says, Lord, I cry out to you. You see, when we come to our God and we desire to be heard, we desire grace, and we look for his work upon our own hearts, the Lord desires that we come with a whole heart. He desires that we come fervently. And this is what is shown here. When he says, Lord, I cried out to you. It wasn't just a casual crying out to God or talking with God. And he is one that is urgent when he says, make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Notice that David is very persistent in his prayer. When we come to ask our Lord for grace, especially in the area of sanctification, we must come with an earnest heart. We must come with a heart that is driven and desirous to be heard, desirous that God indeed would work mightily within our hearts. And this is the context of David here as he comes in prayer to his God. And this is the petition he says. He says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. It's very critical and important to guard what we say. So often we speak without any thought. We speak without even realizing what we are saying. And our tongue, that is our speech, is that which carries with it much sin. The apostle James here, he talks about the tongue, and he speaks of it as that which manifests a world of sin. It defiles the whole body. Notice James, the third chapter. In James, the third chapter, and verse 6 of that chapter, He says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Notice what he attributes to the tongue, to our speech, that is. He says it is a fire. It can be violent. It can be devastating. A world of iniquity, just not a little minor sin here and there, but a world of sin. How in the world can you measure the extent of sin that flows from the mouth, and yea, from the tongue? And then in verse 8 of James 3, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. We often say to a person, well, you need to be careful what you say. We need to be careful regarding your speech. But apart from the grace of God, apart from being in Christ, there is no way that a man can tame the tongue. It is unruly. It speaks evil. And that is the record that Scripture gives. And then again, in verse 10 of James 3, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. It's not reliable. At one time, there is blessing. Another time, there is cursing. There is no stability in the tongue. Look what, again, Scripture speaks of in Psalm 10. In Psalm 10 and verse 7 of that psalm, this is what we read. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. Full of cursing, full of deceit. You can't rely upon what is said. But what is said so often is nothing more than simply deceit. Under his tongue is trouble. Trouble arises because the tongue can so easily lie. The tongue can so easily say those things that are not true. That is what the tongue is. Again, in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, listen again to Scripture and the 12th verse, Proverbs 6 and 12. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. You can always tell one who is apart from Christ. You can always tell one who the Scriptures describe as wicked, that is, dead in sin, is so often shown by the tongue. The tongue that is deceitful and the tongue that is perverse. And as believers, we still have remaining sin, as we understand. And therefore, the tongue must always be under guard. This is what David cries. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. What I say carefully. What I say is that which does not at all come out in the realm of sin, but that which is holy, that which is righteous, pleasing in your sight. Speech is a very important part. And why is that? Well, notice what the Lord says in Mark, the 7th chapter. Notice in Mark 7 and verse 14 of that chapter. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." See, it's not what goes in, but it's what comes out. And what is it that comes out from within? It is that which is manifested in speech, that is manifested in how we talk. The real defilement is not physical, but moral and spiritual. What is it that comes out? The actions that is spoken of, the words that originate. And when he speaks about that which defiles being within, it is that which originates in the heart. It is that which comes out from the heart. Notice what he says, continuing in Mark 7 and verse 18. "So he said to them, 'Are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods?' And he said, 'What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man.'" That's right. Our thoughts, which is many times adulterous, fornication, murders, being angry at other people, thefts, covetousness, all of these wickedness. And it shows the tenor of the heart. It shows where the heart is. And that is what the Lord is speaking of. This is what defiles a man. It is what comes out of the heart. And what the mouth says is a reflection of what is in the heart. So often, the way we speak determines how serious we are in any one given endeavor. If we talk in a flippant way, one can say, "Well, you really aren't serious about it. That is, your heart's not really engaged in this activity." Our speech and the way we talk reflect what is in our heart. Notice what God says in Genesis, the sixth chapter. In Genesis, the sixth chapter, and verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." The thoughts of his heart. And how do you see the thoughts of the heart? How do you perceive that? Well, it comes out in the speech. It comes out in the mouth. It comes out in what you say. And David is crying out to the Lord, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to an evil thing." Because the lips are attached to the heart as far as revealing that heart. It's a spiritual and moral aspect to it. Listen to the way the apostle speaks in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. in Ephesians chapter 4. Here's what the Apostle Paul says, verse 29 of that chapter. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. This is what David is asking to be guarded. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Now when that command is given, it is given to the people of God, whereby God gives grace. God never asks us to do anything, but that it cannot be done. Yes, it will be done if we are in Him, guarding our mouth, that no corrupt word proceed. But what is good for necessary edification, that's what should be coming out of our mouth. Edification, building up each other in the holy faith. Sanctifying, spreading the word of God, speaking of the gospel, speaking of God, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Did you ever think that when you speak, what does that impart to the hearers? How does that come across? If proceeding out of your mouth are corrupt words, if there's cursing, if there's perverse words coming out of the mouth, if there's anger, what is that? Does that impart grace? Does that build up in the holy faith? No. No. And what is the effect of all of that? He says in verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then he defines and he shows a little bit more what is involved in what proceeds out of the mouth and the corruption that is in there. He says, let all bitterness. When you have bitterness within the heart, it will always reveal itself in your speech and how you talk. How you talk about people, how you talk about those that you have bitterness against. Wrath, your anger. Your clamor, your evil speaking. He says, this must be put away from you with all malice. This is how the wicked and sinful heart speaks. This is what it reveals. How do you know what's in the heart? Well, you do so as you listen to the mouth. You listen to the speech. The words that come out and what that reveals. And it wasn't just in one place that the apostle speaks of this. But he says in Colossians 4 in verse 5 the very same thing. He says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace. You see, not just sometimes, but always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. You see, if you are saturated with the Word of God, if you are in the context of fellowship with the living God, where there is consistent prayer, where there is coming before Him, where you are asking and pleading with David, oh Lord, set a guard over my mouth and keep watch over the door of my lips. Then as you talk to one another, there will be a speech that is seasoned with grace. There will be that which is edifying, which builds each other up. How often do we simply talk to each other about those things that are nothing more than just empty words and worthless as far as edification? We should be able to talk spiritual things to one another. But the guarding of the heart and the speech is what is important. When Paul speaks about this here in Ephesians 4, He talks about no corrupt word, rotten speech, putrefying speech. No, we must have that which is seasoned with grace. The benefit of that, of course, is that we are building each other up in the most holy faith. Again, in Mark, the 7th chapter, we read once again in verse 21 of that passage, where he says, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts." All of these things come by way of the perverse tongue. Comes out of the mouth. No, our speech must be sound. Our speech must be godly. That the words that we speak reflect what is in the heart. A heart that is in tune with the living God is one that will speak in the context of grace. We need carefully to watch what we say and how we talk. Listen to the psalmist in Psalm 37 and verse 30. "The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice." The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom, a lot of discernment from the mouth of a righteous man. You can learn a lot. You learn a lot about God. You learn a lot about the different principles that are according to godliness. Because it is righteous speech. It is filled with holiness. And what does David cry here in Psalm 141? He's very conscious not only of what he says and what comes out of his mouth, but he also prays. He says, "Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works." That is, I don't even want to be tempted. I don't want to go in to situations where I am tempted, where I'm inclined. You see, we must guard against all of the onslaughts of the devil and of sin within the heart. That we are not inclined, that we are not, we do not gravitate towards evil things. And evil speaking, as it were. We're to use all that we can to turn from it. We must understand the seriousness and the importance and how devastating it can be when we simply are inclined and continue on that path, that eventually we'll end up where our mouths do sin in what we say. No, do not incline. Don't even go down that path to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity and do not let me eat of their delicacies. You see, you're around those who do not know the Lord. Men who work iniquity, that is, their whole practice of life is sinful. They speak in a certain way, and their speaking is geared towards those things that their heart loves, which is in rebellion against God. Their sinful ways. And he prays that God would keep him from those ones who are practicing wicked works. That's their language. That's their life. That's where they exist. No, that's why the body of Christ is so important, to fellowship with God's people and to be around God's people. One old writer has said that speech is the chief engine of the devil. He asks nothing else but that the lips of the door would be open. Open, open to take in all types of sin, take in all types of that which is contrary to wholesome speech. It is that which Paul had to remind the people of God consistently of. How we talk reflects what is in our heart. What should proceed out of our heart? And how will it affect our speech? Well, this is what he says in Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Yes, those righteous words, kindness towards one another in Christ, tender-hearted towards the people of God, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven us. Sanctify our lips. And this is what David desires. He desires that his speech would be honoring to his God, and that there would be a guard set upon it, that he would not sin in his speech. Now, so often we don't think of our speech. We don't think of our tongue. We think of other areas, but we do not think of what we say. Do we meditate? Do we contemplate our speech? Do we look at it? And does it affect us when those things come out of our mouth and we speak and it is nothing but sin? No. Sanctifying us as far as our speech is vital. How is it that you speak? What do people observe when you talk, when they hear you? What is it of the family when they hear you? Is there godly, gracious words coming out unto edification? Is there words that reflect in a heart a real love for God, a real love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Always speaking and realizing that holiness is that which affects the heart. And what we are is revealed in our hearts, and it comes out. See, so often men can conceal what is within. So often they attempt to make it so that nobody knows what they're thinking or the real state of their heart. But that is not something that always can be held back. Most often what happens is that in the speech and how we talk, it reflects, it shows what the heart is. Oh, I love the Lord. Oh, I'm religious. And yet, our speech contradicts everything. Our speech shows that our heart is not in Christ, is not honoring to Him. And that any religion that we have is shallow and non-existent. Because why? The heart is what, and what proceeds from the heart is what defiles a man. It shows where we are in our relationship to the Lord. May it be that God would sanctify our hearts, that as we talk, we reflect the grace that is within us. Careful to choose our words, and careful that as we speak, it is that which is seasoned by grace in that which is edifying and building up of God's people. This is what we should be striving for as the people of God. A prayer that is one we should be praying daily. Daily. It is not something that once in a long time, but it is something that we need each day, that God would give us grace to guard our mouth and to keep watch over the door of our lips, that we would indeed honor Him. This is why David is so urgent, because he knows how important and he knows how easy it is to come out with words that are dishonoring to his God. And so his cry is persistent. Make haste. Give ear. Let my prayer be set before you. This is the way he prays, urgently, because there's much grace that's needed, that as we speak righteously one to another. May it be that this is what we do as believers, that we magnify our Lord Jesus Christ, and that our speech be in the realm of edification. Our Father, we thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy. How often it is, Lord, that our mouth reveals our heart. It's not always a pretty sight. We plead, O Lord, that we would guard what we say. We would be careful. We would, Lord, seek to put to death the corrupt speech, that which is unwholesome, that which is sinful, that our speech may be holy, sanctifying, and edifying to one another. May we build each other up in the most holy faith. Thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy, that even in this area, that we might honor you in all of our ways. We thank you and we praise you in your precious name. Amen.